Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 686. Update on the National Cancer Institute's Viral Cancer Research Program and Biological Warfare. This program is being recorded on August 30th of the year 2009. This program is going to be a reading into the record of an article that came out many years ago, and it's also a subject that I covered many years ago, and explicitly in the context of AFA program number 16, recorded in April of 1986. That was the first significant compilation of work that I've been doing for decades on AIDS as a man-made disease or a human-made disease. That is not a new concept to veteran listeners to this program. A lot of material has come out in the last several years that I think points inarguably toward that hypothesis, and specifically indicates that the research which was conducted in this country and in all probability in other countries was done on the foundation of work, research work that was done under the Third Reich. Veteran listeners of the program are no doubt aware of Project Paperclip, under which some of the top Nazi scientists were incorporated into the U.S. National Security Establishment at the end of World War II. Well, many of those top scientists, in addition to being brilliant scientists, were war criminals of the First Order. And it's worth noting that the Third Reich's Biological Warfare Research Program, as covered in a number of programs, including most recently For the Record 606, was disguised as a cancer research program. Now, the focal point of this program, or the reason, the raison d'etre for this program, is not only the fact that there is very firm evidence at this point that cancer can be used as a weapon of assassination, but more importantly, it was the National Cancer Institute's Viral Cancer Research Program, or Virus Cancer Program, that was the epicenter of AIDS research in the United States. And specifically, it was that program that, quote, discovered, unquote, the AIDS virus. The NCI's National Cancer Institute's Frederick Research Center basically was the old Fort Detrick, the Army's top biological warfare research center. It was ostensibly turned over to civilian control, but as we're going to see, ostensibly is the key word here. One of the key people involved with that was Dr. Robert Gallo, who was the, quote, discoverer, unquote, note the quotes, of the AIDS virus. And this program is intended to sort of flesh out and to provide detail for this line of research, which I've been engaging in for decades. And specifically, For the Record program 606 and the recently recorded For the Record 682 are immediate antecedents to this, and both programs contain links to, and in many cases, long text excerpts of this particular article. This article can be found in the supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website, and in the descriptions for the Record 682 and, more importantly, 606, there are links to this article. So without further ado, here goes. This article is called The National Cancer Institute and Fort Detrick Link. It was authored by Richard Hatch. It was published by Covert Action Information Bulletin in their issue number 39, the winter of 1991 and 92. I have read a small amount of this into a supplement to AFA program number 16. The article begins with a quote from Colonel William D. Taggart, former commander of the Army's medical unit at Fort Detrick. He said, "Those who would increase the potency of biological weapons must search for improved methods of mass production of organisms, factors which will enhance the virulence, ways to prolong the storage life of living agents, ways to improve aerosol stability, and methods of producing variant organisms by recombination or by other means." And then Richard Hatch goes on to write, "In 1969, President Richard Nixon ordered a halt to offensive biological warfare research and weapons stockpiling by the United States. The U.S. Army destroyed its toxins, viruses, and bacteria with heat and disinfectants by May of 1972. The disposal of the scientific personnel was not so simple. Some of these bio-warriors went to the CIA. Others quickly found new support from the National Cancer Institute, particularly in its Virus Cancer Program, or VCP. Parenthetically, it was this program and Fort Detrick, renamed the Frederick Research Center, that was the epicenter of AIDS research, and it is because of that that I am reading this article into the record, and again, sort of shouting it from the rooftop, so to speak. Continuing, the National Cancer Institute funded and supervised some of the same scientists, universities, and contracting corporations, ostensibly for cancer research, which had conducted biological warfare research. Some of these medical research contracts ran simultaneously with the U.S. Biological Warfare Program. When the military work ended, the civilian programs continued to expand on the same critical areas outlined by Colonel Tigert, or Tigert, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, T-I-G-E-R-T-T. The NCI's Viral Cancer Program, a highly politicized public relations effort, was launched in 1971 with great fanfare as part of Nixon's War on Cancer. The stated aim of the program was to organize experiments aimed at finding cancer-causing viruses. Apparently, this agenda was compatible with the incorporation into various units of the VCP of possibly dozens of former USBW researchers who continue to study topics with potential military application. Potential cancer-causing viruses were collected, grown in huge amounts, and distributed through the thousands of animals that were infected experimentally, and the aerosol distribution of carcinogenic viruses was also studied. Two former biological warfare facilities would play a large part in the viral cancer program. The U.S. Army's Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland, had been the, quote, parent research and pilot plant center for biological warfare, unquote. During the early 1960s, the CIA paid the facility $100,000 a year for biological warfare and chemical agents and their delivery systems. In Oakland, California, the Naval Biosciences Laboratory was involved in early experiments with the plague and collaborated in massive open-air tests of biological warfare simulants in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 1950s. Former biological warfare specialists from both of these centers were deeply involved in all aspects of the viral cancer program. So again, note that in addition to Fort Detrick, also the Naval Biosciences Laboratory, right here in our backyard in Oakland, California, figure prominently in this concatenation, the viral cancer program of the National Cancer Institute. Note also that the CCR5 Delta 32 genetic variant, which provides purebred Northern Europeans, or quote, Aryans, unquote, with a hereditary immunity to HIV infection, was discovered because it also apparently provided immunity to some of those same people from infection by bubonic plague. New thinking, by the way, on the Black Death of Europe is that it was not actually bubonic plague, or what we call bubonic plague, but actually a viral hemorrhagic fever that was introduced from Africa by some of the early trade and exploration that was taking place in that time, possibly by some of the Crusaders as well. Now, what we're going to look at here, in addition to further developing the link between the National Cancer Institute's viral cancer program and biological warfare research, is the relationship between key universities, in this case the University of California, and those programs. Richard Hatch's next section here is called The University Military Complex, and it reads, reflecting a common pattern of cooperation, much of the military-related research took place at institutions connected with or directly part of U.S. universities. The University of California is well known for its role in managing the two main U.S. nuclear weapons laboratories, the Los Alamos and Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories. Less well known is the fact that UC Berkeley also helps manage the Naval Biosciences Laboratory, or NBL, earlier called the Naval Biological Laboratory. This connection became central to the VCP and continued after the ban on offensive biological warfare work. Well before President Nixon ordered the conversion of the U.S. Army Biological Warfare Center at Fort Detrick to civilian uses in 1971, this military facility was cooperating closely with the University of California. From 1953 to 1968, the University of California, while managing the Naval Biosciences Laboratory, now at the Naval Supply Center, also had biological warfare contracts with the United States Army. After U.S. treaty obligations would have prevented open research on mass production of dangerous viruses without a medical cover, the VCP provided an ideal excuse to study scale-up problems. One of the first new priorities at the Fort Detrick facility after the ban was, quote, the large-scale production of oncogenic or cancer-causing and suspected oncogenic viruses, unquote. Within a year, the NCI began mass production at within one 15-month period ending in June of 1977, the viral cancer program produced 60,000 liters of cancer-causing and immunosuppressive viruses. That, by the way, that's quite a figure, 60,000 liters. That is a lot of microorganisms, deadly microorganisms under the circumstances. Continuing, throughout the 1970s, U.S. defensive, unquote, biological warfare efforts were increasingly aimed at the research and development of viral disease agents. The seed stocks for this massive production of viruses came from the Cell Culture Laboratory, or CCL. The CCL was, quote, physically located at the Naval Biosciences Laboratory, or NBL, in Oakland, California. Because this laboratory was financed in part by the NCI and linked to UC, it would become a clearinghouse and central repository for vast quantities of potentially cancer-causing tissues and the tissues that might contain them. Thus, after the ban, the Naval Biosciences Lab at UC continued experimentation on biological agents, but under the guise of defensive, unquote, research. The viral cancer program contract ran concurrently with the Naval Biosciences Laboratory's work on bubonic plague, Rift Valley fever, and meningitis. The NBL did other research for Fort Detrick as well, before the 1972 ban on offensive work. The National Biosciences Laboratory also performed much of the original research into biological warfare done during World War II. At some, NBL work was, quote, listed only in Pentagon research bulletins, unquote. The Naval Biosciences Laboratory Cell Culture Laboratory project was supervised for the viral cancer program of the National Cancer Institute by Drs. James Duff and Jack Gruber. Duff had been at Fort Detrick for 12 years, joining the NCI. His biography lists research into Clostridium botulinum toxins and 13 botulinum toxins known to cause botulism, food poisoning, and they are among the most toxic substances known. It was during Duff's tenure at Fort Detrick that the U.S. Army stockpiled botulinum toxin weapons. There, too, the intensive study of psittacosis or parrot fever resulted in the accidental infection of at least 12 workers while Duff was working there. After serving for 8 years at Fort Detrick, Gruber moved to the National Cancer Institute. His biography lists work on arthropod-borne viruses, unquote. The U.S. stockpiled biological warfare weapons based on one arthropod-borne virus and studied many others. He soon became chair of the Program Resources and Logistics Advisory Group of the Viral Cancer Program, where he helped coordinate projects involving production of viruses, provision of test animals, and the Biohazard Safety Program, unquote. In 1984, Gruber became head of the Cancer Etiology Division of the National Institutes of Health. And in addition to the relationship here between biological warfare research veterans Dr. James Duff and Jack Gruber and the viral cancer research program of the National Cancer Institute Cell Culture Laboratory, which was maintained at the Naval Biosciences Laboratory, there was also tremendous research into aerosol-borne viruses and other agents. The next section of Richard Hatch's article, it's in the air. The field of aerobiology, or the transmission of disease organisms through the air, is essentially an outgrowth of biological warfare research. The military objective of exposing many people to a biological warfare agent and the ready susceptibility to infection by inhaling these agents make aerosol weapons the most practical form of transmission. The National Cancer Institute also studied aerosol transmission of viruses intensively. One such study, FS57, Aerosol Properties of Oncogenic Viruses, was funded at more than $100,000 a year. After the ban on offensive BW research, the NCI and the Office of Naval Research jointly sponsored NBL experiments on the, quote, aerosol properties of potentially oncogenic viruses. The National Cancer Institute justified its aerosol research because its scientists often handled suspect cancer viruses in a highly concentrated form. A lab accident could release a mist of virus. National Cancer Institute needed to understand and anticipate the danger. How the Navy justified its interest is unknown, but if a new cancer-causing biological warfare agent was discovered, it would likely be delivered as an aerosol. The line between aerosol and biological warfare research was often a fine one. The National Cancer Institute's project officer and former U.S. Air Force virologist Dr. Alfred Hellman worked with Mark Chatigny, a research engineer at Naval Biosciences Laboratory and also a member of the National Cancer Institute's Biohazards Work Group from the NBL. Biological warfare research veteran Dr. Hellman also oversaw the 1971 $100,000 Naval Biosciences Laboratory study on the, quote, physical and biological characteristics of viral aerosols, unquote. In 1961, the Naval Biosciences Laboratory had done similar research for Fort Detrick on the, quote, stability and virulence of biological warfare aerosols, unquote. Dr. Chatigny's Naval Biosciences Lab research into aerosol distribution of viruses would continue well into the 1980s. Such overlapping of purposes raises serious questions about the wisdom of placing control of viral cancer program viruses under the NBL. More about aerosol studies here. And Richard Hatch's next section is called, appropriately, More Aerosol Studies. While UC Berkeley appears to have been at the heart of aerosol BW research, it was by no means alone. Other universities collaborated with the BW effort while working on the VCP in parallel. From 1955 to 1965, the Ohio State University College of Medicine conducted research for Fort Detrick into the aerosol transmission of BW agents, including tularemia and Q fever. In some of these studies, prisoners from the Ohio State Penitentiary were used as guinea pigs. Between 1952 and 1969, the affiliated Ohio State University Research Foundation had 8 contracts with the U.S. Army for biological warfare research. Tularemia, rabbit fever, and Q fever were ultimately stockpiled by the U.S. Army. Before he worked with the University of California, Dr. Hellman supervised an NCI contract for Ohio State University. Designed to study the aerosol transmission of cancer-causing viruses, this research started in 1965 and continued at least until 1972. The principal investigator for this work, Dr. Richard Greismer, would eventually succeed in giving tumors to mice and monkeys. Greismer then went to work briefly at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, part of the U.S. Department of Energy Nuclear Research System. After his stint at Oak Ridge, Greismer returned to NCI, where he headed the NCI Bioassay Program, which tested chemicals suspected of causing cancer. This multi-million dollar program was so badly managed that epidemics forced the killing of nearly 90,000 test animals, and testing of suspected carcinogenic chemicals fell far behind schedule. Many other universities prominent in the U.S. BW program, such as Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland, and the University of Minnesota, were also heavily involved in the VCP. Since the BW work performed by these universities remains classified, the exact relationship between VCP and biological warfare research remains a murky one. The pattern of overlapping military BW and NCI work was paralleled by the relationship between industrial contractors and the viral cancer program of the NCI. Charles Pfizer and Company, Incorporated, a pharmaceutical firm, had a contract with the NCI which included production of, quote, a large quantity of a variety of viruses for the VCP. The immunosuppressive Mason-Pfizer monkey virus was grown in large quantity, and other animal cancer viruses were adapted to grow in human cell lines. During the same time period, 1961 to 1971, the NCI contractor, Pfizer, conducted a secret study for the U.S. Army, quote, into the growth and culture media for unspecified biological agents, unquote. In addition, from 1968 to 1970, Pfizer had a contract for scale production and evaluation of staphylococcal enterotoxoid B, unquote, for the U.S. Army BW program. Staphylococcal enterotoxoid is a protective vaccine against a bacterial toxin which was part of the U.S. arsenal. The production of vaccine against a stockpiled BW weapon must be considered an offensive BW project. According to MIT scientists Harley Strauss and Jonathan King, quote, "These steps, the generation of a potential BW agent, development of a vaccine against it, testing of the efficacy of the vaccine, are all components that would be associated with an offensive BW program." Clearly, without an antidote or vaccine to protect attacking troops, the utility of a stockpiled BW agent would be seriously limited. Next comes a really important section of the article. President Nixon's 1971 announcement that Fort Detrick would be converted to a center for cancer research could not be immediately implemented. First, biological warfare agents stored there, such as the anti-crop agent Rice Blast, had to be destroyed. The buildings were then decontaminated and the facilities were turned over to the National Cancer Institute, which renamed the facility Frederick Cancer Research Center. Litton Bionetics was named as the prime contractor. A major player in the military-industrial complex, Litton Bionetics Corporation worked extensively on the dispersion of biological warfare agents from planes and included U.S. Air Force contracts for the, quote, supersonic delivery of dry biological agents, unquote. From 1966 to 1968, Bionetics Research Laboratories, which became Litton Bionetics in 1973, held two contracts with the U.S. Army Biological Warfare Program. At the same time, it held major contracts with the National Cancer Institute. One of Bionetics Research Laboratories' most important NCI contracts was a massive virus inoculation program that began in 1962 and ran until at least 1976 and used more than 2,000 monkeys. Dr. Robert Gallo, the controversial head of the current U.S. AIDS research program at National Cancer Institute and the chief of its tumor cell biology laboratory, and the aforementioned Dr. Jack Gruber, formerly of VCP and then NIH, were project officers for the inoculation program. The monkeys were injected with everything from human cancer tissues to rare viruses and even sheep's blood in an effort to find a transmissible cancer. Many of these monkeys succumbed to immunosuppression after infection with the Mason-Pfizer monkey virus, the first known immunosuppressive retrovirus, a class of viruses that includes the HIV or human immunodeficiency virus. In 1976, Dr. Seymour Coulter, a prominent NCI scientist and former military medicine expert, reported on experiments so dangerous that other scientists publicly asked for an end to such work. By blending the genetic material of viruses causing cancers in mice and baboons, he created a new virus which could cause cancer in dogs, monkeys, and even chimpanzees. Because it could attack chimpanzees, other scientists feared it could spread to genetically similar human beings. The new virus was a product of some of the first crude genetic recombination experiments. Lawrence Loeb and Kenneth Tartoff of the Institute for Cancer Research in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, went even further in calling for change and calling for a ban on such potentially dangerous experimentation. The production of malignant tumors in a variety of primate species suggests the possibility of creating viruses that are oncogenic for humans. Therefore, we urge that all experiments involving co-cultivation of known oncogenic viruses with primate viruses be immediately halted until the safety of such experiments are extensively evaluated, unquote. Experiments performed under NCI contract, including many dangerous viral inoculation programs like the primate inoculation program run by Gallo and Gruber. So-called species barriers were routinely breached in efforts to find or create infectious cancer viruses. Viruses native to one species were injected into animals from another species in hope of triggering cancers. Often, the recipient animal would be immunosuppressed by radiation, drugs, or other treatment. NIH primate researchers were well aware that, quote, the ecological niches of man and animal cross with increasing frequency, and this undoubtedly will create or uncover new problems, unquote. At a 1975 NCI symposium, a participant, Dr. J. Moore Janowski, admitted that, quote, environmental motivated groups begin to consider primate laboratories as being a source of danger, unquote. He continued to comment that, quote, a European primate center was not able to begin operations as a result of adverse publicity they obtained because of the Marburg disease outbreak. The speaker was referring to a 1967 outbreak in Yugoslavia and West Germany of this viral disease, which killed several people. Tissues obtained from the African green monkeys used in biomedical work were the source of the mini-epidemic. Dr. Morjanowski suggested that researchers should fight against tighter restrictions on primate experiments. Upon the National Cancer Institute aegis, VCP provided many opportunities for contact between former BW specialists and others in the scientific community. Former BW specialists Dr. Peter Garone and Arnold Wiedem were prominent members of the Biohazard Control and Containment segment of the VCP. Their positions allowed them frequent contact with laboratories handling hazardous viruses. Garone and Wiedem both worked for many years at Fort Detrick. They were both specialists in the airborne transmission of diseases. In the 1950s, Wiedem was in charge of U.S. Army tests of tularemia or rabbit fever on human volunteers. In Garone's BW research, he used prisoners from the federal prison camp at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. This group of human guinea pigs was more fortunate than Dr. Wiedem's. They were exposed only to cold viruses. Garone was awarded the Army's Meritorious Civilian Service Award for his efforts at Fort Detrick. The 1975 NCI-sponsored symposium on biohazards and zoonotic problems of primate procurement, quarantine, and research illustrates another aspect of NCI military cooperation. Zoonoses, diseases that can be transmitted from animals to humans, make up the majority of biological warfare agents. The meeting brought together NCI researchers, 9 military officers from major to colonel, and a civilian from the Edgewood Arsenal, a U.S. chemical warfare facility also in Maryland. The officers were from the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, the Defense Nuclear Agency, and the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology. In addition, Drs. Wiedem, Duff, Gruber, and Garone were all in attendance, and by the way, all biological warfare research veterans. Garone presented a paper on the biohazards of experimentally infected primates. He now headed Tulane University's Delta Regional Primate Research Center. In passing, he mentioned aerosol hazards and recommended, quote, exposing animals so that only the head is in contact with the aerosol rather than whole body exposure, unquote. Wiedem had previously briefed him on BW tests involving just such exposure of monkeys to aerosolized staphylococcal enterotoxin. In these tests, 4 Fort Detrick workers still became ill through exposure to the animals. Presumably, Garone was also aware of a 1964 accident when 15 Fort Detrick workers inhaled aerosol staphylococcal enterotoxin B, milligram for milligram, one of the most deadly agents ever studied, unquote. Skipping down. Research into viruses during the war on cancer provided an ideal cover for continuing biological warfare research. As Colonel Tiggert advised, the NCI project allowed the mass production of viruses, the development of means to enhance virulence, exploration of aerosol transmission, and the production of new recombinant disease agents. These civilian projects ran concurrently with military projects in many cases. When political expediency dictated an end to overt U.S. biological warfare research, the viral cancer program provided a means to continue experiments that would otherwise be difficult to justify. And again, AIDS figures prominently in this concatenation. This article is present in its entirety in the supplemental section to SpitfireList.com. It will also be presented in its entirety in the description for the Record Program 686. This concludes For the Record 686. This program is being recorded on August 30th of 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.